Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, May the 31st, Pope Francis upholds the witness of missionaries in spreading the gospel message and thanks young people committed to conflict resolution. The World Council of Churches condemns violent protests by fundamentalist Jewish activists against Christians in Jerusalem. And the climate crisis puts hundreds of thousands of vulnerable people and children at risk in Somalia. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis on Wednesday morning held his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square and continued to reflect on those who embodied apostolic zeal. He turned his attention to the venerable Matteo Ricci, who brought Christianity to China. The Pope also praised missionaries who today, like the Italian Jesuit, witness the gospel through consistency and always most importantly with prayer. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Matteo Ricci's love for the Chinese people, concretely exercised in friendship, Pope Francis insists, remains an enduring source of inspiration.
Suo amore per il popolo cinese è un modello.
With these words, Pope Francis described Ricci, one of the early Jesuit missionaries to the Far East, at his weekly general audience on Wednesday in St. Peter's Square, as he continued his catechesis series on saints who personified apostolic zeal.
Zelo apostolico.
He said that Ricci's efforts led to always greater efforts for men and women of every country to live as brothers and sisters. Last week, the Pope praised St. Andrew Kim Taegon, the first native priest of Korea and a martyr for the faith who dreamed of reaching China but couldn't. This week, instead, the Pope reflected on Ricci, who was able to enter China.
È andato in Cina, Matteo Ricci.
Reflecting on this saint, the Pope remembered how originally from Macerata in Italy's Marche region, Ricci studied in Jesuit schools and would join the Jesuits in Rome. Enthused by the reports of missionaries, he asked to be sent to the missions in the Far East. Ricci would go to China and patiently go on to master the difficult Chinese language and immerse himself in the country's culture. Thanks to his writings in Chinese and his knowledge of mathematics and astronomy, Ricci became known and respected as a sage and a scholar.
Ma qual è stato il segreto di Matteo Ricci?
Ricci's vast learning and ability to engage in sincere and respectful dialogue, the Holy Father explained, were employed in the service of the gospel. Ricci made the gospel known not only in his writings, but by his example of religious life, prayer, and virtue. In this way, the Pope suggested Ricci attracted many of his Chinese disciples and friends to embrace the Catholic faith. Ricci was the first foreigner permitted by the emperor to be buried on Chinese soil. In our day, the Holy Father suggested Matteo Ricci can serve as an outstanding model for the inculturation of the gospel. Pope Francis called him an inspiration for relations between the Church and China and for dialogue between the cultures of the East and West in the service of peace and fraternity among peoples. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And during that general audience, the Pope turned to a group of around 60 young people, noting that you have decided not to live as enemies but as brothers. May your example inspire peace in those who have political responsibilities. He was addressing participants in the Rondine Citadel of Peace project, which brings together young people from warring countries across the world and offers them the opportunity to live together in a tiny village in the Italian region of Tuscany. One of those in attendance was Ruziska, 27 years old, from Bosnia. She spoke to Vatican Radio about the Rondine project and its unique approach to conflict resolution.
Rondine is working about a transformation, creative transformation of the conflict. And now I'm part of the project, which coming from the Mediterranean. And we are 9 students, but all of the students in Rondine, we are 33 people. And we are coming from different areas, which are in conflict now or post-conflict societies. So we are working on a transformation of the conflict, which is for Rondine, conflict, it's not a negative thing. For Rondine, the meaning of the conflict is to meet another person, to listen to the different point of view of people with who I'm in the conflict, okay? I have my part of the story, but also the other person have their part of the story. They have their own truth, I have my own truth. And the thing is, in the conflict, we need to understand that I am not more valuable than that person. My opinion is important as much as this other person. So I found it also connected with what Pope was saying. It's we cannot put the human being under our feet. It's not what we do as a Christian. And generally in Rondine, we found this moment of understanding opinion and situation of other person.
And that was Ruziska, one of the participants in the conflict resolution project promoted by the Rondine Citadel of Peace, speaking there to Joseph Tulloch. The World Council of Churches has joined in condemning a violent protest by far-right Jewish activists against an evangelical Christian event in Jerusalem on the 28th of May. As Lisa Zengarini reports, the incident is the latest in a series of violent acts of intolerance against Christians in the Holy Land.
The incident took place at the Jerusalem Archaeological Park Davison Center, adjacent to the Jewish holy site of the Temple Mount, where hundreds of Christians, including evangelical supporters of Israel, had gathered for a prayer rally. The worshippers were met by dozens of far-right Israeli protesters, insulting and spitting on them and shouting at them to leave. The violent protest has sparked an outcry of condemnation, including that from Israel's Anti-Defamation League, which described the protesters' actions as despicable hate speech by Jewish extremists against Christian worshippers in Jerusalem. The Secretary-General of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Jerry Pillai, also strongly condemned the incident, upholding once again that Jerusalem is a shared holy city of three religions. Violations to the status quo bring division, hardship and violence, he said, urging the support of the international community and all the people of goodwill to keep Jerusalem as a city that respects the rights of all people in the Holy Land. While not referring to the protest explicitly, the Israel Foreign Ministry said in a statement that it condemned any violation of freedom of religion and worship in Jerusalem and any violence against religious officials in the city. Churches in the Holy Land have repeatedly raised concerns about attacks and harassment by extremist elements in Israeli society and the grave threats posed to the Christian presence in the region. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Somalia and the Horn of Africa are in need of humanitarian assistance following severe drought and sudden flooding. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, warned on Wednesday that the climate crisis is creating huge risks for vulnerable people, especially for children. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Devastating flooding after countless seasons of drought has led to the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people in Somalia. A statement by UNICEF's representative in Somalia, Wafa Saeed, reads that in September last year, we were talking about the devastating impact that the drought in Somalia was having on children and families. Somalia, in fact, had gone through five consecutive seasons of no rains and was facing its sixth. With the arrival of the rains, in a bitter but perhaps unexpected irony, the statement continues, misery was brought to many children and families. Already over 400,000 people have been displaced by the floods in Somalia this year. Humanitarian partners now predict that if the heavy rains continue in Somalia and the Ethiopian highlands throughout the current season, flash floods could affect up to 1.6 million people. Wafa Saeed warns that with so much suffering dominating the headlines, the world's attention has been diverted, and this will be to the detriment of children in countries like Somalia. As we approach June, the humanitarian response plan for Somalia is only 26% funded. The water, sanitation and hygiene sector of the plan is about 11% funded, putting the provision of safe water and sanitation at risk at a time of high risk of outbreaks of diseases such as cholera and malaria. Finally, she adds, now is the time for the international community to continue its support, to increase it and not to switch off. Somalia and other countries in the region are one step away from another human catastrophe, which once again will be measured against the lives and futures of children. I am Francesca Merlo.
Lawmakers in Southeast Asia are warning that the gradual decline in digital freedom will negatively impact democracy in Indonesia. This as the country approaches its general elections in 2024. Zeus Legaspi tells us more.
Southeast Asian lawmakers are concerned over restrictions on Indonesia's freedom of speech as digital spaces become increasingly monitored ahead of the country's elections next year. ASEAN Parliamentarians for Human Rights, or APHR, said in a statement that Indonesia's electronic and information and transaction law has been used by powerful individuals to criminalize and silence critics. The lawmakers conducted a fact-finding mission where they found that the law's ambiguous articles on defamation have been weaponized even against peaceful expressions of dissent. APHR said that this can be seen in the ongoing prosecution of two human rights defenders who were reported under the ITE law for discussing allegations of a local politician's involvement in mining activities in Papua in a YouTube video. Moreover, the lawmakers are worried that the law may be used to prohibit Indonesians from participating in online political discussions to avoid legal harassment. The law, said the lawmakers, may call into question whether the upcoming elections are truly democratic. The group urged the Indonesian government to increase public participation in digital freedom-related policymaking and set measures to promote a healthy and informed online discourse during elections. The lawmakers also called on the Indonesian authorities to revise the ITE law and to halt the law pending the revision. Indonesia will hold its next general election in February 2024. I am Zeus Legaspi.
The Vatican Observatory has announced that it will hold its biennial summer school in astronomy in June this year. 24 university students specializing in astronomy and astrophysics were selected for the school and will gather at the papal summer gardens of Castel Gandolfo for their studies. Thaddeus Jones has more in this report.
The Vatican Observatory Summer School in Observational Astronomy and Astrophysics will host 24 students from 20 nations for its biennial session running from the 4th to the 30th of June. The study and research school thus reopens its doors after several years of hiatus due to the COVID pandemic. And as in previous years, the sessions will be held at the headquarters of the Vatican's Astronomical Observatory and the Papal Summer Gardens of Castel Gandolfo, just southeast of Rome and the Alban Hills. The theme of this 18th session is Learning the Universe, Data Science Tools for Astronomical Surveys. Father Alessandro Omizzolo, an astronomer at both the Vatican Observatory and the Italian National Institute of Astrophysics at the Padua Observatory, is dean of the school and in a press release noted that as telescopes grow larger and the detectors on them become more sensitive, the amount of astronomical data that scientists need to understand has grown dramatically. And astronomical surveys have measured billions of celestial sources, and future ones will gather even more amounts of data from observations, making the analytical needs literally astronomical, hence the employment of more and more sophisticated technology to help crunch the numbers. The first Vatican Observatory Summer School took place in 1986, and since then, more than 400 have participated in it. The school is open to advanced astronomy undergraduates and beginning graduate students from around the world. Most selected have come from developing countries, and admission is without regard to financial need, as the tuition is free and travel and housing is assisted through donors. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, you can visit our webpage at vaticannews.va and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. My thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.